This morning, we're going to wrap up this series by talking about He's the same God who empowers. He's the same God who empowers you to walk in truth, to walk in victory, to walk in righteousness and holiness. He's the same God who empowers you to conquer those things that are in your way, to claim His promises, and to overcome every obstacle that you'll face. God says, I want you to be successful. I want you to find joy. I want you to experience all that I've planned and purposed for your life. And God will empower you to do that, which means this: the God of the Bible is not the source of your problems. He's the answer to them. I mean, so often I'll hear people go, if God loved me, why did He do this? Why did He do that? Why does He? God's not causing those things to happen in your life. God says, let me be the answer to the problems you're facing. Let me empower you to walk in grace. Let me empower you to walk in freedom. Let me empower you to find greater joy in life. God's not giving you hard things. God's freeing you from those things. God is the answer to every problem you'll ever have. So, what does it mean that God empowers us? I want to look at a man from the Bible by the name of Caleb. So, if you don't know who Caleb is, let me give you a little background. He's first introduced to us as one of 12 spies that Moses sends into the land. Now, throughout this series, I've been talking about the people of Israel and the Exodus from Egypt. So let me give you a little background here in case you haven't been with us. So the people of Israel, God's chosen people, were in bondage to the Egyptians for 400 years. At the end of 400 years, God sends Moses to lead the people out. And He does in amazing ways. And now Moses is leading these people to this land that was promised over 400 years ago to their forefathers, to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so, as God leads them, they're now at the edge of the promised land. And Moses says, God has promised us. Now let's enter into all that God's promised. But before He brings the people in, He sends out 12 spies. The 12 spies represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And so off they go. And Moses sends them because he wants them to come back and report on three specific things: the people that live there, the cities that are there, and the state of the land itself. What Moses is hoping is and believing and wanting is for them to come back and tell the people, hey, listen, this land is good. It is fertile and rich and flowing with good things. He wants them to realize that what God led us from and where He's led us on this journey is to something better. And He wanted them to be excited, full of faith that, yes, there's people there, and yes, there's cities there, but God will help us to take the land, and the land is good. It has been worth everything that we've gone through to get to this moment. And so the 12 spies go in, they check out the land, they look around, they come back, and they give their report. Now, it's not a unanimous report. There's 12 spies. 10 of them agree on one condition of the land. Two of them have a different report. So the 10 step up and they say, here's what we found. Indeed, the land is amazing. It is rich and fertile. It is overflowing, flowing with milk and honey. It's everything we dreamed and imagined and more. For 400 years, we've been told how great this land is from generation to generation to generation. And we're standing here and it's better than our dreams. They said, but there's a problem. Because the land isn't just there. There's people there. And there's a lot of people. They outnumber us. They've got these cities that are fortified, huge walls, big armies, battle-tested. When we compare ourselves to them, they're like giants. We have no chance against them. The land is so good, of course there's going to be people there. And we can't just go in. We'll be back into slavery. It'll just be to a different people. So let's just stay where we are. I mean, this is okay. This isn't bad. There's some good stuff where we are, but it's not worth the effort. It's not worth the job. We will be defeated. But then Caleb steps up, one of the two that had a different report. And alongside of him is this man named Joshua. And Joshua is kind of the aide, the heir apparent, the second in command. He's Moses' right-hand man. And so Caleb steps up and he says, I don't think these guys are right. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't dispute anything in their report. He doesn't say, there's no cities. The walls are crumbling. The people are emaciated. The army's weak. There's not a lot of them. He doesn't dispute anything. He says, listen, all they said, yeah, the land is amazing. And yes, there's things there, but that doesn't matter. What matters is God is with us. And so Caleb begins to remind them of all God had done. He led us out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He provided manna. He led us by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. He allowed us to see victory. He brought healing. He's led us all this way. And if God has led us here, then when he leads us in, don't you think he'll give us the victory? So let's do this. Let's go in and grab hold of God's promises. And the other 10 say, you're out of your minds. There's no chance. And the 10 drown out the voice of the 2, and the faith of the people melts. And they say, we can't do this. All we see is failure. Now listen, someone here needs to hear this. Stop saying you're going to fail. Stop believing you have no opportunity for success. Stop already determining in your heart that you can never be walking in promises, in goodness, in grace, in miracles. If you already believe you're going to fail, you're going to fail. Listen to me. Failure isn't not being successful. Failure is being unwilling to step out in faith and try. Failure is giving up. Failure isn't getting knocked down. Failure isn't getting back up. Failure isn't losing your finances. Failure is being unwilling to learn from that experience so that you can handle your finances better moving forward. Failure isn't losing a job. It's not breaking up. Failure isn't even getting divorced. Failure is being unwilling to apply for another job, to get additional training, to look at your life, your character, the things in you that need to change to make a future relationship successful. It's being unwilling to say, what did I own in this marriage that broke up so that I can be the man or the woman that God wants me to be? But so often, we give in to a spirit of failure that says, I'm afraid to fail, so I won't try. And that is failing. God wants us to step out in faith and try and believe and say, God, if you're empowering me, I can step into this situation. And yes, there's cities, and yes, there's enemies, and yes, there's things to overcome, and yes, there's difficulties, but I can do it. I can do it. Caleb and Joshua said, there's nothing that's impossible with God. Somebody needs to say to themselves, I'm not in an impossible situation because God can empower me for victory. Or you can stand there and allow the voice of others and the voice of the enemy and your own voice to convince you it's impossible. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to never step in to God's promises for your life. And so sadly, the people listen to the voice of the 10 spies and they don't go in. And so they miss out. God says, hey, I had something for you. I promised this all those generations ago to this people. And I chose your generation that was going to step into my promise, but you didn't have the faith to step in. You didn't believe that I would empower you. You didn't believe I'd be with you. And so he says, I'm going to wait. Your generation is going to miss out. And so for 40 years, the people of Israel wander in the wilderness until the entire generation dies out except for 2 men, Caleb and Joshua. Even Moses, the great deliverer, isn't allowed to step into the promised land. And so now a new generation is raised up. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they enter into the promised land. Joshua leads them in, and for 5 more years, they battle and they fight and they grab hold of the land. They conquer it. They make it theirs. They say, this is ours. God promised it to us. And they endure and they push through and they grab hold of God's promise. And then Caleb pulls Joshua aside, and he reminds him of a promise that God made 45 years ago. 45 years ago, when they had come back from spying the land. And this is what it says in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb said to Joshua, he didn't think it, he didn't hope Joshua would remember, he spoke with Joshua. The Lord has kept me alive for 45 years. Here I am, 85 years old, and I'm as strong today as I was the day that Moses sent me out. Listen, some of you here today, as you know, I turned 50 last week. Some of you have me by a few decades. And you say, God's got nothing left for me. I'm at the end of my life. Listen, God wants you to have that. I'm strong today. God's got something for me. Here's what should make you dangerous. What do you have to lose? I mean, come on. You just say, I've got a short window left. I'm going to take it all. And that's what Caleb's like, listen, these young guys, they're afraid of this. I got nothing to lose. But what I have is to hold on to is God's promise. He says, God's kept me alive all these years, and I'm as strong today as I was back then, and I'm ready to fight. Now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me on that day long ago. Yes, the Anakite people live there, and their cities are large and well-protected, but with the Lord helping me, I will force them out. Give me this mountain. That needs to be the clarion cry of some people. Give me this thing that God has promised me. Caleb said, I don't have anything to lose, and the only thing I'm holding on to is God's promise. It's been 45 years, I don't care. See, Caleb didn't go to Joshua and say, would you do me a solid? He wasn't asking for a favor. He didn't say, listen, bro, you owe me. Remember 45 years ago? I mean, I was going to join the other 10. We were all going to rebel against you. We weren't even going to let you come out of the land. But you convinced me to stick with you, so now you owe me a mountain. It wasn't about a favor. He was declaring something that God promised. He was laying claim to something that God had spoken. And he said, I want this. I want this mountain. God's promised it to me. And here's the thing. He says, I'm 45 years old. I'm willing to fight for it. I'm not asking God to just give it to me. I'm willing to fight for it. See, you will never grab hold of God's promises if you have a passive, cowardly mentality. Like if you're not willing to fight, if you're not willing to press in, if you're not willing to endure some things, if you're not willing, if at the sign of the first obstacle, at the difficulty, you're looking for the path of least resistance, you'll never experience God's promises. You'll never walk in his blessings. God doesn't bless apathy. He doesn't bless laziness. Caleb doesn't say, give me this mountain. I'm just going to sit back and let God. He says, give me this mountain. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight and I'm going to take hold of it. Life is full of difficulties. Life is full of obstacles. Life is full of challenges that you and I have to overcome. So many people just say, give me the mountain. Well, didn't work. And we turn and walk away at the first sign of opposition. And you'll never walk in God's promises. Caleb was willing to fight for it. Listen, when you press in and you say, God, change me, do something. And sometimes that fighting looks like I'm going to get up early and I'm going to pray. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night. I'm going to read the word of God and find a promise in there. And I'm going to pray it and believe on it and stand on that until I see it come to pass. Sometimes it's pushing through. It's saying, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. But we have to be willing to fight. And some of you are facing mountains today. My question is, what kind of mountain are you facing? Are you facing a mountain of problems? You might be. But maybe you're facing a mountain of promise. Maybe you're facing a mountain of dread or despair. Or maybe you're standing looking at a mountain of destiny. Whatever it is, listen, you may be facing a mountain of broken relationships. You may be facing a mountain of ruined finances and destroyed businesses. But I'm telling you, if you press into God, you can find success. Your relationships can be healed. Your finances can be turned around. You can walk in God's blessing. You can see promotion at work. You could see bonuses. You could see raises. You could see new opportunities. God can come in and do something great in your life. He can change the way you think about yourself, the way you speak about yourself, what you believe about yourself, how you define yourself based on your past, based on what's happened, based on what you've done. God can change all that. But at some point, you have to be willing to push through and say, my future is worth fighting for. It's worth the effort. That promise is worth going to battle to grab hold of. It means we have to endure some things. But here's what I've known and I've learned in life. If you will endure present hardships, you can claim future promises. You have to endure present hardships to claim future promises. We don't like the first part. None of us want to endure. We just want the promises. We want to walk in the blessings. We want to walk in his plans and purposes for our life. And he says, yeah, but you're going to have to struggle through some things. Well, I don't want to struggle. It's one of the reasons that people like to go to Pastor Andy for marriage counseling more than they like to come to me. Because I don't have time for your foolishness. You say, what foolishness? So let me give you an example, right? Here I am, and we meet, and I say, okay, let's work on this. This is something you need to really apply to your life. You need to really make these efforts. You need to make these, start doing this. And then we meet the next week or 2 weeks later or a month later. And I say, how's it going? Well, that didn't help. What do you mean it didn't help? Well, we tried it for like, I don't know, about 3 or 4 days, a week. Didn't make any difference. You didn't try. Yes, we did. No, you didn't. Yes, we did. I'm telling you, you didn't try. We did. Are you saying I'm a liar? I'm saying you're fooling yourself. And they look at me. I say, listen, this is 20 years of bad habits that you've established in your life to get your marriage to where you are. If you tried for 5 days, you didn't try. You have to endure. You have to persevere. You have to push through. Well, I don't like that. I said, go see Pastor Andy. My counseling load gets lighter and lighter. No, but we do that all the time. I see people do that with their finances. My finances aren't where they need to be. Great, let's talk through. Let's put a budget in place. Let's put some things in place. Let's put God in the middle of your finances. All right, what does that look like? Well, here's a budget. Follow the budget. It means tithing. Well, what's tithing? Tithing means taking 10% of what God blesses you with, your income, your earnings, the sale of a house, whatever it is, your increase, and giving it back to God through the local church. Well, I can't afford to do that. All right, well, let's start somewhere. All right, great. And then they'll come to me and they'll say, well, I've been giving to God for a month now, and I tried to follow the budget, and my finances still aren't any better, so I'm giving up on that. Well, you didn't try. Yes, we did. No, you didn't. You haven't tithed ever. You haven't followed a budget for 20 years. You haven't tried. You're thinking God is a scratch-off lottery ticket. You have to put God into the equation and then pursue him, endure, push on. It's why the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, you need patient endurance to do the will of God and to receive, to grab hold, to claim what he promised. It doesn't happen overnight. It's why we don't like waiting. It's because waiting tells us we know there's something better on the other side. We know that the promises are good, but I don't want to wait for them. I don't want to endure. I don't want to work. But if you will, you can overcome the mountains in your life. So I want to look at three keys to overcoming the mountains that we see in the story. The first is this: speak to others about the mountain. That's what Caleb did. He said, Joshua, let me tell you what God promised me. You were there, but maybe you forgot. You're an old man just like me. You might have forgot, but I didn't forget. So I want to tell you about God's promise. See, talking to others about the mountain isn't talking about how big the mountain is, how scary the mountain is, how hopeless the mountain makes you feel. It's talking about how God will help you. It's not talking about how big the mountain is. It's talking about how big your God is, that he'll come in and he'll help me. Some people, oh man, I just tell everybody about how bad my life is, how bad I had it. They don't know this person and that person and on and on and on and on and on. All right. You could talk about the mountain to other people all you want. That's not going to help you. But when you speak about what God's going to help you do to overcome the mountain, I've had this. There's this promise. There's this thing that God has done. There's this thing I've experienced. There's this addiction that I need to overcome. And I know I do, and God's going to help me. Would you help me? So maybe you're dealing with a mountain of sin. Maybe you're dealing with a mountain of addiction. Maybe you're dealing with a mountain of despair. You need to recruit others. Say, would you help me? I want to find freedom from drugs, alcohol, pornography. I want to overcome the shame of my past. I want to overcome this feeling of despair that I'm never going to amount to everything. I know God's got a plan and a purpose for my life, but I feel this mountain and it's overwhelming. And all I can do is see this big mountain in front of me. It's why the writer, that's why James writes in his letter, he says, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Hey, I'm struggling with this. I need help. Recruit others to come alongside you, to hold your arms up, to carry you, to come behind you and push you forward, to go in front of you and help make a way. Recruit others. Talk to others. Hey, I'm going up against this and I know God is good, but I need your help. Maybe it's about the mountain of promise. See, I don't know if you realize this, but everyone here, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, I don't care your education, I don't care your race, I don't care your background, I don't care about your past, I don't care how rich you are or how poor you are, I don't care how many terrible decisions you've made or how holy you think you are. Everyone has been called by God with a plan and a purpose, created with a plan and a purpose for their life. He says, I have a promise for you. What you need to do is find his promise. Not what you want for your life. We all want things for our life, and most of what we want is just smoke and mirrors. You need to say, God, what do you want for my life? What's your vision? What's your dream for my life? And once you find it, here's what it says in the book of Habakkuk. Write the vision down. Make it clear so that whoever reads it can run and tell others. Share your vision, share your dream, share God's promise for your life with other people so that they will know and they can be encouraged and they can encourage you. And sometimes you're going to have to wait for it because it's not the right time, but the time is coming. It may seem like a long time, but be patient, for it will surely come. Write it down. Share it with others. Don't be discouraged with the delay. This is what God promised me, and I don't know how it's going to come to pass. Some of you need to find those promises. You've got a child that has wandered away from God, and you say, I don't see how they'll ever come back. You have to patiently endure, but find the verse, find a scripture, find a promise, lay hold of it, and pray it over and over and over and over and over again. Caleb waited 45 years. I prayed for a week. Nothing happened. Keep praying. I was talking to someone just last week, and they were estranged from one of their children, and it was a horrible thing. It was awful. And they were praying with their spouse, and they felt God told them it's going to be 10 years. And so for 10 years, they prayed. For 10 years, they begged God, fix this, bring our son back, help us to be reconciled. And after 10 years, almost to the day, God did a great work. You have to share those promises with other people and then press in. Keep going. Don't be discouraged. The next thing is this. Speak to others to the mountain. Speak to God about the mountain. Speak to God about the mountain. What Caleb did. Caleb said, listen, I know that the Anakites live there. I know that they have cities. I know that they have armies. I know all that stuff, and I can't beat them on my own. But if God is with me, if God empowers me, if God strengthens me, I can take hold of it. He promised it to me, and if he promised it to me, he'll empower me to do it. I can't do it on my own, and I don't want to do it on my own. If I try and do it on my own, I'm going to fail. That's why Jesus said at one point, he said, listen, apart from me, you can't do anything. He said, there's a lot of stuff I could do if I'm not a Christian. You can't do anything of eternal value that advances God's kingdom because that's a spiritual work. You can't do anything that lasts for eternal value. You can do a lot of stuff that's going to burn up when this world is made new again. But if you want treasure that's going to endure through all eternity, it's going to require the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Caleb said, I can fight, and I'm ready to go. But I'm 85 years old, and I'm a one-man army. I'm going to need some help. And you know who I'm going to recruit? My God. Because my God is bigger than my mountain. That's why Zechariah, it says this. It says, you will succeed not by your own strength, not by your own power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by your might. It's not by your power. It's by the Holy Spirit inside of you. Some of you need to realize, yes, God has made a promise. I said earlier, right? You've got a child that's wayward. you're not going to bring them back. Somebody needs to hear that. God will bring them back. You can't, in another text, another email, another intervention, another coffee, you're not going to bring them back. It is heart-wrenching to be the father of a prodigal who stands in his driveway and says, is today the day? But you have to say, God, it's not by my effort. It's not by my work. It's by your spirit. So, tell others about the mountain. Tell God about the mountain. And then here's the last thing. Speak to the mountain. So many of us let the mountain speak to us. I'm big. I'm scary. I'm your past. I'm your future. I'm your present. I'm your shame. I'm your guilt. I'm your bondage. And we find ourselves quivering in fear, listening to the voice of the mountain, listening to the voice of the enemy, listening to the voice of the other 10 spies, listening to the voice of our friends who says, you'll amount to nothing. And we allow the mountain to intimidate us. Even when it's a promise from God, we say, I don't know if I can do that. Right, you can't. It's not by your might or your power, so settle that. But then don't listen to the voice of the mountain. So many of us live afraid standing in the shadow of a mountain instead of standing in the light of God's goodness, of his grace, of his power, of his might. And we're intimidated by the mountain. At some point, we have to stop listening to the voice of the mountain and we have to speak to the mountain. Jesus says this in Mark 11. Jesus replied, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and doesn't doubt in their heart, but believes what they say, it will be done. At some point, Jesus says, speak to the mountain. Now, is he talking about a literal mountain? No. This is a Jewish idiom. It's a phrase. Mountain be moved meant an adversity, a difficulty in your life. So when Caleb says, give me this mountain, what he's saying is, give me my promise, even if I have to go through adversity to get it. Even if I have to overcome difficulties, my future is worth the fight. The promise is worth the effort. The victory is worth battling for. To find freedom is worth all that I'm going to have to endure. It's worth it. Give me this mountain. So we have to speak to the mountain. Mountain, be moved. We have to believe. It says, Jesus said, have faith in God and believe in your heart. We have to have, you can't grab hold of God's promises if you don't have faith. But when you have faith, faith will turn your mountain into a miracle. Faith will take that mountain and turn it into that miraculous moment. It will take that thing that you say, I can't see a way out, and all of a sudden, God will make a way. When you look and say, the mountain is so big, the mountain will be laid flat. And the crooked paths will be straight. And the hard mountainous ranges will be smooth. And all of a sudden, you'll say, what seemed impossible is possible. I never thought it could happen. I never believed it would happen. But then I grabbed hold of faith. And I grabbed hold of God's promise. And what I didn't think could happen when I began to believe in my heart and stop doubting and said, mountain, be moved. I saw a miracle. And God changed everything. But here's the thing. Faith is the first step, right? We speak to the mountain and then we step to the mountain. You have to put the effort in. Caleb said, give me this mountain. And then he went and fought. These people had this friend who was paralyzed, and they had faith that Jesus could heal him. But they put their faith in action. They climbed up on the roof of a house and cut a hole in the roof and lowered their friend down right in front of Jesus, right in front of Messiah. And their faith made him well. But they had the same faith when they were standing outside the courtyard. How come he wasn't healed then? Because they had to put their faith in action. And so there's this woman who had a blood disorder. And for decades, nobody could do anything to help her. And so finally, she has faith that if anyone can heal me, it's Jesus. And so she sees him walking, and there's a huge crowd, and she can't get to him. So she falls down on her hands and knees, and she crawls through the legs of people, over and around, climbing, doing everything she can, desperate, so she can just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well, but the same faith that she had when she was standing out of the crowd didn't do anything until she put her faith in action. And Peter is on a boat, and he hasn't caught anything, and Jesus says, hey, throw your net out. There's a big catch coming in. Peter said, can't the fish just jump in the boat? No, he takes the net. He puts his faith into action. And it changed his life. At some point, you and I have to say, am I willing to put my faith into action? I can speak to the mountain, but then I have to step to the mountain. Because when God made you a promise, you still have to do something to apprehend it. God promised the people of Israel the land, and an entire generation missed out on his promise because they weren't willing to go in and fight. I don't want you to miss what God has for you. I want you to overcome. I want you to claim God's victory. I want you to walk in his promises. I want you to see his goodness in your life. I want you to fulfill his plans and purposes for you. But make no mistake, you can't just say, I believe. You have to step to the mountain. Speak to others about the mountain. Speak to God about the mountain. Speak to the mountain. And then get ready to fight for the promise that God has for you. There is no mountain you cannot overcome when God empowers you. I don't know what mountain you're facing today, but there is no mountain that you can't overcome when God empowers you. Whatever your mountain is, maybe it's a mountain of disappointment because life hasn't gone the way you thought. Maybe it's a mountain of dread because when you look at your future, say, it's not what I was thinking my life was going to look like. But I can start to look at the days and weeks and months and years ahead, and this isn't what I thought. Maybe it's a mountain of bondage because you just can't put the bottle down. You can't stop looking at the websites. And you keep going deeper and deeper and deeper, and you say, I don't know how I'm going to ever find freedom. Maybe it's a mountain of promise, and you know what God's promised you. But you look at that mountain and you say, I don't see how. God, you promised me that I'd see your goodness in the land of the living. And I hold on to that promise, but I don't see goodness. All I see is hardship. All I see is failure. All I see is mistakes. All I see is my past. I don't know what mountain you're facing today. It could be a mountain that says, I've got something for you that's better than you can imagine. But the problem is, all you can see is the mountain standing between you and what's on the other side. And you've allowed that mountain to shout you out, to shut you down, to speak so loudly that all you hear is the voice of the mountain. And I'm telling you, speak to others about the mountain. God has said this, and I believe it. Would you stand in faith with me? Would you come alongside me and help me find freedom? Then speak to God about the mountain. God, I can't defeat this mountain. I can't claim this mountain. I can't conquer this mountain. I can't get to where you call me without you. But if you're with me, I can see it. And then speak to the mountain. Mountain, shut your mouth. Because in Jesus' name, you're going to be moved. In Jesus' name, I'm going to overcome. In Jesus' name, I'm going to see victory. In Jesus' name, I can overcome the adversity to walk in the promise. And then fight. Fight. Don't give up and don't give in to fear of failure. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I ask by your goodness, by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak to us this morning? In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive prayer. But I just want to start by asking you, right where you are, with every eye closed, every head bowed, this is about you and God. Is there a mountain in your life? Is there a mountain in your life that you know needs to be moved? And when you look at it, you go, I don't even know how. But you want it gone. There's a mountain of promise. You don't see how it's possible. But you say, I want that promise. If you've got some mountain in your life that's threatening you, that's speaking to you, that's trying to intimidate you, here's what I'm going to ask, right where you are. Just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet right now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God would move those mountains. Here's the thing. It may not happen today. It may not happen instantaneously. I would even say to you, it's probably not going to happen today. I hope it does. I would to God that in a minute, in this miraculous moment, the mountain is moved. But more likely than not, what you're going to have to do is step from this place and begin to speak to others about the mountain, and then speak to God about the mountain, and then speak to the mountain, and endure, and press on, and press through. And you may have to wait 45 hours, or 45 days, or 45 weeks, or 45 years. But don't stop believing. Don't stop asking. Don't stop pressing on. Don't stop until the mountain is gone, until you've claimed the promise, until you're walking in freedom, until the mountain is conquered. We're not called to hike up the mountain. We're called to claim the mountain, to conquer it, to subdue it, to make it ours. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for each person that stood to their feet. There's so many. God, I just pray you bless them. Oh, God. You know the desperation in their heart. You know the desire that they have. You know what it is they're asking for and believing for. God, if it's a mountain of despair, if it's a mountain of destiny, if it's a mountain of problems or a mountain of promise, God, I pray right now that by your Holy Spirit, you would move. God, they would find those in their life to speak to about how you're going to move, about how good you are, about how big you are, about how great you are. God, they would bring others into their life to pray with them, to pray for them, to believe with them, and to believe for them. And God, then they would speak to you about the mountain. God, I need you. Empower me. Strengthen me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Change me. Grow me. Mature me. God, do a great work in my life. And then, God, they would speak to the mountain. Be moved in Jesus' name. Be moved in Jesus' name. And then they would step to the mountain and put their faith into action. And God, would we see you respond in amazing, supernatural ways that we could tell others, look, look, look what the Lord has done. God, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. Now, just a moment, we're going to continue to worship God, but I'm going to invite those who stood to their feet. If you would like prayer, this is one of those moments when you can ask someone, come into my life. Let me talk to you for just a moment. I've got this mountain. Would you pray with me? This is that moment where you say, come along. I don't want to just face this mountain alone. I'm going to talk to you. I'm dealing with this. Let them pray with you. Let them pray for you. So if everyone would just stand to their feet, but those who stood for prayer, please come forward now. We're going to have prayer teams up here, and as we worship God, this could be that moment where God begins to do something amazing. Don't miss it. Just make your way up. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't convince yourself nothing's going to happen. This is just an emotional response. Let God do something. We're going to have prayer teams up here. Let them pray with you and for you. Tell them what your mountain is, and together, joining your faith, believing, claim that mountain in Jesus' name.